Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have gathered ourselves together tonight, and we want to thank you for the opportunity that it is through thy Holy Spirit that we have been drawn together, that we might come, read your word, meditate upon it, and then we would apply it to our lives. But Heavenly Father, we only can do what you would give us the instructions, you would guide us, you would direct us. And so we depend upon you, we trust in you, we love you, and we want to serve you. And so we pray this evening, bless our being together as we call upon thee in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I would desire to read out of the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12.
Nađena je Rimljanima poslanica 12. Glava.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one in body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with the prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, and provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For if in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As the brother mentioned in the prayer, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And any time we see this in the scriptures, I beseech you, that's like saying, I beg you. And this is what I believe the Apostle Paul is trying to get through to the Roman brethren there. This is pretty much written to brethren, because of the things that he asked us to do. And the one thing is that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Sometimes I wonder what exactly a living sacrifice might look like or might be. And I believe that by and large, we as believers in Christ and we that have been baptized in the likeness of his death have some idea what that might be. Simply because, especially if we read the scriptures, we read the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the different churches, and he encourages us oft times of how we ought to conduct our lives, how we ought to walk circumspectly, how we ought to live, how we ought to love, serve one another, and so forth. And I believe this is what is the living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. And so we're doing this here, when we live this kind of a life, we're doing this for God, for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for God. We're not doing this because we love doing it, or we got into the habit of doing it, so we're doing it, and we just do it because that's the thing that Christians would be nice if we did. You know, if that's our casual attitude, then we got the wrong concept, we got the wrong idea of what a living sacrifice that is acceptable unto God. We've missed the mark. We have to have a zeal and a desire and a want to serve the Lord and be a living sacrifice. And this is what I believe he's encouraging us here that we should do. And the best way, he says here, is be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when a person becomes converted, this is one of the things that you and I learn to do, and it doesn't come overnight. It's not an instant thing to renew our minds, because we're so used to living the way we once lived, maybe in sin, maybe however we lived, and now to become one of his children, we got to change our attitude, we got to think, and we got to change our way of thinking and of speaking and acting and so forth. And that all comes with being this living sacrifice. And so, as he puts it here, then not to conform ourselves to the things of this world, which we realize and understand is so easily done. Like it's written in Hebrews, that the sin that so easily besets us, and we all know what that means. So we see here that he's encouraging us here, renewing of our mind, that ye prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man, it is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Sometimes it's pretty easy when we've accomplished something and we think, I've done a pretty good job. Okay. And we get a tendency to think that we are something. And the next thing you know, pride sets in, and if we're not careful, we're thinking more of ourselves than we ought to think, like he says here. But to think soberly, humble ourselves in the sight of God. This is what I believe he's referring to and meaning to when he says that let him not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so he puts this in a measure of faith, and he goes into this about being members of the body and what different members have and what operations there are, and it makes it very plain and clear that we're not all the same. All the parts in the body are not all the same. You can read in 1 Corinthians 12 the same thing. It talks about the body and the parts of the body. And the eye can't say, I have no need of the ear. Or what if the whole body was an ear and the whole body was an eye? No, it can't be that way. There are different parts, and this is what he is saying here in this scripture here, that the body of Jesus Christ is made up of different individuals. We're all different. There's none of us the same. Realize it or not, God has not made any one of us identical the same. Not even identical twins are the same. There's still difference in their thoughts or their actions or something. It's never exactly the same. So you think about that, we are all different. And this is no different than what we're talking about here, because when we become a part of the body of Jesus Christ, there's different offices, and he names some of them. As he says, for many members of we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So you see how he collects us and puts us all together as a body of believers, a body of Jesus Christ, following and serving and doing his will, doing what he wants us to do, and every one of us has a little different office, as he mentions here. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith, ministry, waiting on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that serveth or sheweth mercy, let him with cheerfulness. So you see, all of these different things that some of us are able to be in the ministry. Some are teachers. Some are, as he puts it here, some give exhortation. Some give. Some do. Some are rulers. Some and have mercy and doing it with cheerfulness. All these things makes up the body of Jesus Christ. We're not all the same. So I can't expect you to do exactly the same things I do, and you can't expect me to do the same things you do, simply because we're different. So how does that work then? How can we all be different and still be the same body of Jesus Christ? How can we think different and maybe have a little different opinion, different idea? How can that be? Well, if you look into the book of Corinthians 12, it talks about that. Let me just read it. He says here, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man may say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Get that. Understand that. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So now can we say that the Spirit's leading of one is not exactly the same as the other? Yes, that can happen. But it's all to be brought together. It's all to glorify God. It's all to bring unity in the church. It's not to be one over the other. No. That's why we read that in Romans. The difference in the gifts that are given. Not everybody has the same thing. For an example, I would probably have a hard time being a housewife. I don't like cleaning the house. I don't even like doing dishes or anything else. I would not make it very good. But thanks be to God, we got women that do this, and actually they love to do it. They're willing to do it. They do it for their family. They do it to the honor and glory of God. They're housewives. Nothing wrong with that. We can't all be housewives. Can't all be bricklayers. Can't all be whatever. We're just not that all, we're not all the same. And so we got to understand that concept. We got to understand that, what God has given here, what the Apostle Paul's writing, that we have these little differences in gifts. But yet, he says here, but of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So you see, yes, we work together. We have the same mind. And the same mind meaning that our focus is on Jesus Christ. This is the same mind. Our focus should be on helping others, serving others, drawing others to the Lord, living a godly life. If we all do that, then we're talking the same mind. We're talking the same thing. But that doesn't make it that we don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. They're a little bit different. We vary. We need to understand that. But it's still the same mind. We still got one thing in mind, and that's to serve the Lord. Whether it's exhortation, whether it's preaching, whether it's giving, whether it's ruling, mercy. Whatever is your gift, whatever God has given you, that's what you better be doing. And do it heartily as unto the Lord. This is it. This is the Christian life. This is what we are. And yet we're still united together. We come together. We worship the same God, the same Lord and Savior. We have the same Spirit. But the Spirit leads us maybe in a little different aspect. Like I said, the Lord has never led me to be a housewife. It didn't happen. So you see, we understand this. And so this is what I believe that the apostle is telling us here. And how does that all happen? We read in the ninth verse, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let love motivate, let love be the determining factor of what we do in the body of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, if we do any of these things and we don't have love, it's zip. It's nothing. Forget it. It still has to be based on love. And this is what he's saying here. Let love be without dissimulation. Don't differ. And so this is what he's saying. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that curse you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here's the roadmap. Here's the directions. Here's how we do that. Right in these chapters, right in these verses. And though we don't all have the same office, we still have a responsibility as one of God's children. Whether it's serving, whether it's loving, whether it's giving, we all have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's to our God. It's the bottom line. So he goes on to say, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I always found that verse somewhat interesting. If at all possible, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men. You know, sometimes, let's face it, it's nearly impossible. Some people we run across are just downright evil, if you will. Just hateful. And they'll do everything they can to irritate you, agitate you, whatever. You all, probably many of you, have run across this kind of a person in your life. I certainly have. And yet we're to love that person and not recompense evil for evil and live peaceably as much as lieth within you. And sometimes I've found that the best way with someone like that, exit. Make your break. Get away. The argument and the discussion that's going to only cause havoc and problems and it ain't worth it. Zip it, make your break. So much easier. It saves a lot of heartaches, a lot of hatred, a lot of all kinds of other things. But that's what sometimes we have to do. And sometimes that's the only way we can live peaceably with some people. Christ said that peacemakers shall inherit the eternal life. Those that make peace. You know what that means? That means you got to walk away sometimes just to keep the peace. And it will work. Because you're to stand there and argue about something, it's to no avail. No avail. And you will not live peaceably with an individual like that. So it's just some of the things that he is teaching us here. And then that's why he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And if you can get that mindset in your mind that you're not going to avenge, you're not going to straighten that individual out, you're going to live peaceably with him, God will repay. Be sure of that. That has to be our faith. That has to be our trust in the Lord. That God will take care of this. We don't have to. We don't have to straighten that person out. We don't have to do anything to him, make him better or worse. Forget it. God will take care of that. He will take care of the vengeance, need be. So this is why he says here then, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He'll take care of it. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Another way to live peaceably with another soul. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. In other words, be as kind and tender-hearted as you possibly can. Not always works. Not always works. But it doesn't give us any excuse not to do this. It don't give us any reason not to. We're still expected, according to God's word, according to God's will, to do what we can to make the peace, to live peaceably. And if we have to do whatever, feed them, thirsty, give them drink, whatever it takes, this is what we need to do. And many times, that love, and from what I understand, there are a lot of Muslims that are coming to Christ because of Christian love being shown to them. They can't understand that. Why are you doing this to us? Why are you being so kind? That's what God expects of me to do. That's what I'm doing. I love you. You're my enemy. That's why I'm doing it. And people are changing their mind, changing their attitude, changing their concept of what Christianity is all about. And in fact, many of them are actually turning to Christianity, which is total against all Islamic rule and life. It's just, most of them have no use for Christianity, Jesus Christ, anything else. But if you want to win them, You can win them with love. Show them your love, your hospitality, whatever, drink, food, whatever it might be. And this is what they're finding. And the reason for that is because God has instituted it that way. That's what God wants us to do. And if we do it, we will win souls like that. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard just to love someone that you know they got bombs and missiles and everything headed to us to try to destroy the U.S. And you're supposed to love them. That's what God said to do. So we have that responsibility. So you see, I believe this all is part of renewing of our mind, our living sacrifice. It's all entailed in serving the Lord wholeheartedly with all your heart, without any reservations, and being the Christ-like individual that we're supposed to be. May God bless these words upon our hearts.
The Lord wants unbridled service. He wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning that we're not like a horse that would be bridled and then do at the command of the rider. That's a horse that has to do what he is being bidden to do. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to be unbridled and yet yielding our bodies to his will. Acceptable. Is his will acceptable to us? It says that we would prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God. Abraham was told to give up his son. What would have happened with Abraham if he would have thought that that will of God is unacceptable to him? We read in the verses that follow. This chapter begins one of a few chapters here that brings all the principles that are laid out in the first eight chapters of Romans are actually being shown how to put them into our everyday life here. Is it acceptable to me to overcome evil with good? Is that acceptable? If it becomes unacceptable, that means the Lord himself is unacceptable to me. His will is not mine. And if my enemy is hungry, feed him. That's the Lord's acceptable and perfect will. If any time it becomes unacceptable to me to not mind high things, but to condescend to men of low estate, if that's unacceptable, then I can never present my body as a living sacrifice. But we will find I do certain things. We can be led by the intellect. We can be led, we can be sensual in our doings. In other words, the senses are driving us. If I see someone hungry, I might give them something. If I see something, a tragedy take place, I can weep. Non-Christians can do the same thing. Am I driven by my senses? So we can ask ourselves then, so how do I know? How do I know the life that I am living, is it a sensual life, one that is driven by what I see, what I feel, my emotions, or am I living out the perfect and acceptable to me will of God? How will I know that? Who's to discern this? It's a line that none of us can discern. There's only one that can, and that tells us in Hebrews, the word of God is quick. It's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrows, and discerner. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word will show us His will, and the Word will show us, am I living by my will, or have I given myself as a living sacrifice? It's the only thing that God will accept from me. The word will show us. I can be in denial. I can point to what I'm doing. But the word will show me if I take the time to read his word and to study and to pray. May God help us one and all. Amen.